Okay, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beat. I'm tongue-twisted here, Brendan. I'm on my second podcast of the week at this point, so sorry about all that, but welcome back. I'm, of course, Nick Baumgartner.
Just a beast.
Along with Brendan
Kirk. Are you mixing them up at this point? Like talking to to Burke, being like, hey,
no, because
let's talk some Michigan football.
No, because we haven't, like Austin and I haven't, there hasn't been much Michigan football. So that is the one thing that we haven't, if Michigan comes back, like if the Big Ten comes back as some, many are hoping sooner than later this fall, then maybe we'll have some wires crossed, but probably not. We'll be all right. We did a lot of podcasts last fall too, so.
We'll plug your new line.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. One of these years with myself and Chris Burke. Chris has been on The Beat, actually. I believe we had him on around draft time. So if you're going back and looking through, I think it's probably somewhere in the archives. I know we had him on here at some point. So, yeah, Chris and I, one of these years, Lions podcast. I'll be doing a lot of Lions this fall, of course, as we wait for Michigan and Michigan State to sort of, or the Big Ten, I guess, to figure out what they're doing. But that'll be a weekly show. On iTunes, Spotify, Google, all those great places that you listen to podcasts. So go check us out. Give us a rating and review. And that's the end of my plugs for now until we get into the Manscaped reads later, I guess. How are we doing, Brennan?
Oh, we're great, Nick. We're just great. Back off the road for a little bit here. Off to the U.S. Open next week at Wingfoot in New York.
There we go. Picking up.
There's a lot going on, man.
Yeah, it's the good though, right? Like I'm like busy. I think I can qualify myself as that right now. Like that's, yeah. It feels good. It feels different, given what we had through May, June, July. So I'll take it. Hanging in there.
No doubt. But the, I want to touch on this up top.
Yeah. Yeah. Mailbag today, but we got something up top.
I feel like we probably should do this more often, but it's, we would be remiss if we didn't thank everyone out there. I assume most of the listeners here are subscribers as well. And this week, The Athletic formally announced that we've crossed the million subscriber threshold. And you know, I don't know how many people were like, "Oh, that's interesting," or thought that was like an impressive thing. But like, I can tell you, when I joined this company, whatever the hell it was,
2017.
Yeah, there you go. We talked about reaching 100,000 subscribers. Like this is going to be a difficult goal to get to this number. Right. And meanwhile, Alex Mather and Adam Hansman are the co-founders of the company. We're already talking about when we reach a million. And it was like this, just the most ludicrous comment, you know, where you're just like, all right, well, these two delusional guys in San Francisco, think we're going to get there. But yeah, we reached 100,000 and then we've since reached a million. And, you know, a lot of you have been in since the very early days. A lot of you probably joined when Nick came aboard. And yeah, we just want to say thanks for reading, for renewing, for sticking with us, for maybe kind of seeing what we're trying to make this outlet to be. And the type of content that we hope to produce, you know, you guys being on board with it is what keeps it going.
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, when I remember it was 2017, because I remember you coming, you called me right after you met Craig for your interview.
Right.
And I remember, and you were like, you know, we need to do this, you need to do it too. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, it was so new. And I remember the first time I talked to Craig, it was like, and this was 2017. And I was like, I'd barely heard of the company. I didn't really know what it was. I knew what it was, but I'd barely, you know, heard of it. And I was still like super nervous about it. And I just was too scared. Like I was like, I can't do this. Right. And then as time went on, and it was not that much time, but as time went on from 2017 through, you know, whatever, that first year, probably, it became, as an outside person looking in, it became impossible to not know more about what the company was, because it continued to grow at this crazy rate. I remember the first time I talked to Craig, the thing I said to him at the end was, I said, I hope this works because this sounds like the coolest thing anyone's ever, but I don't know if it will, but I hope it does because that would be awesome for everybody. And within like short order, it did. And it only did because people bought into it. And that's the thing that really kind of blew me away, is I just didn't know what the general public's reaction would be to hey, we're just going to present you with a lot of really cool shit, and we hope you are interested enough in it to pay for it. And people right. said, yeah, we're good. Because in a lot of cases, the stuff out there was falling apart in other areas. And, you know, if you're going to offer sure. quality instead. And so, yeah, big, hearty thank mm-hmm. you. And we'll be forever appreciative to folks who not only subscribe here, but everywhere else. Because you see now that a lot of other places are doing the same thing. And they're following mm-hmm. in that path. And I think that's the way it should be. Everybody that works at the Athletic works, and we can say this, Brendan, we can speak for all the people in Detroit and everywhere else, works tirelessly to consistently provide something different, something deeper or cool or whatever it is. And to see that stuff get rewarded is really, really cool. So, you know, tell a friend if you haven't already, and, thanks so much for the first million, and hopefully get to the next million or two here, sooner than the first time.
Probably would have gotten there faster. A little bit faster if your dumbass head would have just come with me in the first place.
Hadn't been such a coward, if I hadn't been such a coward, we might have got there a month earlier. Who knows, right? But in any event, we're there now, and everything's going well. So, I mean, like, it's been really cool to see the continued growth of it. I mean, even during this year, right? I mean, like, what was it, March, when all this started? Nobody knew what the hell was going to happen. It was a crazy couple months. Still is crazy. But, you know,
and it's a little bittersweet. I mean, we had, you know, everyone had that moment in time where we didn't know what was going to happen. And you know, the up top, they had to make some hard decisions. And, you know, we lost over 40 employees. We had to cut 8% of our workforce.
Right.
And those are people that I know a lot of that have found jobs, thankfully, because there are a lot of talented people. And some, I think, are still looking. So, yeah, just trying to grind through and make it to the other side of this thing, and hopefully the company comes out that much stronger. And but we'll see. We'll see. Certainly don't take anything for granted. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I just – it's if you look across – I'm not going to try to get too deep in the bragging here. But if you look
get deep,
if you look across the board at sports writing in the current landscape, I don't know where you're finding better value than this. And I would have probably said that if I was still working it somewhere else, because it's true. I mean, like, there's not going to be a better value for your dollar. I mean, you literally, if you get everything, you sign up for the, you know, we've got a promotion right now. What is it? $1, $1 for, mm-hmm. yeah. So it's like, you get everything. It's not just this or, you know, like something else Brendan writes or whatever else. It's literally everything. So check us out. Give it a shot. If you haven't already, if you're on the fence, get off the damn fence and get in, because we've got great stuff coming for you for the rest of the year for sure.
Good job. All right. Mailbag time, my man.
All right.
Do you you got some stuff pulled? I got a few.
Why don't you start us out with one?
Soliciting this morning.
Go for it.
Okay. Let's see. This is from Greg. Will there be a college football coach fired this year?
Well, one already quit.
Who's that?
Southern Miss, I believe. Was it Southern Miss's coach?
He just peaced out.
Let me look and make sure it was already. I want to say it was Southern Miss because I don't want to. Jay Hobson, I believe. Yeah, I don't know all the details on that one. Yeah, but he quit, and they already had a game. I believe Southern Miss already played a season or played a game this season. Correct? They're 0-1. They got smoked, so we already had a guy quit. So that's something. Will a coach get fired? My initial gut reaction on that, back when like we were sitting here in like April and May and everything was so, you know, like no one knew what was going to happen. Like I can remember, for example, like we're talking in the NFL draft to some of these GMs and coaches. And they're like, man, this is really, we're going to really change the way we operate. You know, we're going to spend less time in the office. And sitting here like, yeah, no, you're not. Like that's not going to happen. I would believe a coach is going to get fired this year, probably so. I'm going to have to see it to believe it that some of these folks are going to, you know, take all this into consideration and not fire someone if they believe they have cause to do so. I mean, odds are I would think that, yeah, we'll see that. I don't know when.
I would bet any amount of money that's at least somebody will be fired.
Probably in a big job.
I mean, it'll be. There's always going to be an AD somewhere who wants to make a decision. Or finds a reason to do something. Shit, remember when, what was it, Western fired Steve Hawkins like 3 days after the world shut down?
Yeah,
remember
they did.
Shit
they did. Yeah, and like just nothing.
Fired him and then ended up just promoting his associate.
Right. And we're like, oh, well, whatever.
When you fire someone and then just promote someone who was on that staff, that
Not a good sign. Not a good sign. Like, not, you know, I mean, like, I'm sure that that'll, I mean, right now I feel like everybody's just like, let's just get through. I mean, it's going to be dependent, right, on probably how far these leagues can go. So, like,
right.
If the SEC, they're supposed to start, what, in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. Like, if they can make it all the way through,
mm-hmm.
and if one of these teams chokes and doesn't play the way that they've, their fan base is not, I shouldn't even say chokes because of the situation they're put in here. But right, if they don't play up to their fan base's crazy, ridiculous expectation, yeah, I'd bet the odds somebody gets fired. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all. The first one, that'll be the bigger question, right, is who's the first one that's going to do it? Because that's what will happen. Somebody will do it, and then the floodgates will open. Right. It'll just feel super normal again. But yeah, I wouldn't bet on there being no coaching carousel in 2020. I have to assume we'll see one at some point.
Right. And then on the basketball side, if they actually get through a full year, like there were very little, there were very few changes last year. And there were a lot of guys who basically just hung on because of the circumstances. So like,
right.
I'll be very curious to see next spring if they get through the basketball season. It could be just a total overhaul, like all over the place. Guys shuffling and moving all over. So,
yeah, I mean,
the amount of coaches that like I've talked to who were like, was not expecting to still be in this job, you know, people who thought that they were going to move up, move out, move over, you know what I mean? Like people are just like kind of now just still where they were unexpectedly. A lot of that around.
Yeah. And I would think that's Jay Hobson is the first one to resign. I mean, I would think you'll see quite a bit of movement too, you know, mm-hmm. coaches and ADs and people deciding to change. I mean, that's just part of the game at this point. It'll happen. I mean, it'll happen one way or the other. If they're going to play, all things are back on the table, including that. As far as I'm concerned, that's just how the sport works.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got
from Brad? Says Nick, is your wife taking advantage of the lack of a college season, and have you booked up with corn mazes and pumpkin patches every Saturday for the rest of the year? And then he says, my condolences. I don't know. That remains to be seen. I have already been to, we went to, Domino's Farms' petting zoo a couple weeks ago, last week. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember now. And I was like, well, this is something. I was like, this is different. This was my first fall trip to something like this in 15 years, I would say, probably. Labor Day was weird for me. Really weird. Haven't had a Labor Day off or what? I mean, I wasn't off. I guess I worked, but like the whole thing was still strange. Like to not have football. Normally, Labor Day that Monday was always the first news conference after the first game, right? My Labor Day memories are always driving to the stadium without traffic because there's never anybody on the road. So it was always one of those type of things. But that was a weird one. I have no idea. I mean, these Saturdays, I've gotten asked that more than I can think. What are you going to do if the Big Ten doesn't do anything every Saturday? I've still got lines on Sundays, but probably a corn maze or two in my future, I guess. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's start calling you Pumpkin Patch, man. When are you going to get out there?
Pumpkin Patch? That's what Brad was saying. I mean, I would think that – I don't think I'm going to make it to November 1 without having to go to something like that. I would think before it's all said and done. And maybe it'll be fun. I don't know. I haven't been in a long time. Are you a pumpkin cider mill guy?
I can't say. No. I can't say. It's always a good gift.
Yeah.
For like if you're going to, you know, someone's house or something like that, you go pick up some
cider.
Apple cider. It's like that. I've just learned this from being in Michigan. This is just what Michigan people do. They're like, I'm gonna go buy a cider and a pie or something. Like that's just what people do.
I don't know how people live. Like, you know me. I don't know how other regular people live their lives. I just know, like, we've been doing this for so long. Like, that's, and then even in this situation, like, it never even hit me until we got to like this weekend. And people said, I swear to God, I get reminded probably 9 times last week that it was Labor Day weekend because we were talking about like planning on certain things. And people were like, well, it's a holiday weekend. I'm like, holiday? What the hell are you talking? I'm like, oh yeah, labor. I'm like, it's a completely foreign concept. It's just never something that entered my life.
I've thought about that with Thanksgiving.
There you go. That's another great one.
You know that, like, I haven't had Thanksgiving dinner with my family since 2010.
Buddy, you don't want to start that precedent.
It's not. Well, I'm telling you, it's not. I mean, but it's not going to. I don't think it's going to happen either way. You know, I think they're going to get college basketball off the ground late November. And luckily, I won't have to deal with that. That'd be weird.
I did the last time I did the full everybody, like the big table Thanksgiving dinner, was when I was randomly in New York for work and my wife's family. Right. Yeah. So that was like 2012, I want to say, is when the last time I had like a big full table one. So we'll see how that goes. I didn't even think about that. Thanksgiving could be different.
Yeah, I've had them in random restaurants in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Same here.
With the Michigan State crew, or at
Mark Snyder and I once ate at Paris in Vegas on a layover.
Nice.
On Thanksgiving Day.
I had a couple Thanksgivings with Mark.
Yeah.
There was one, I think, I want to say Atlantis, the buffet, the Thanksgiving buffet. Yeah. Me, Mark, and Rod, I would assume. I think Rod was there. Dylan was probably there. And like, that's now the normal.
Yeah. I remember. Because like I think Mark and I were coming back from it must have been Maui, because it was Thanksgiving, the Maui mission to Maui, and we had this like massive layover, and we had I think it was Paris the buffet. I remember we bought the power pass to get to cut the line to get like at the front, but it was good. It was better than I've had some worse Thanksgiving dinners over the years. I can say that without exception. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. It's going to be strange for you. You're not in that yet, because I guess golf is probably weird right now for you in terms of scheduling, but basketball wouldn't
have
started.
Yeah, I mean, it's
yet.
Kind of crazy that the U.S. Open is this week or next week, and the Masters in November will be surreal.
Yeah, that'll be the one.
But, you know, basketball, when the first week of November hits and there is no basketball, that'll probably be a little weird.
Yeah.
It'll probably be sad. To be honest,
yeah, August. You know, was
that
rough.
That feeling is it's my favorite thing, and especially getting to cover Michigan State when you open the season with the Champions Classic every year, and it's just these like titan matchups, and you're just, especially when it's, you know, in New York, and you're just like, this is just the best.
Yeah.
It is the best, you know, and you know, that's when kind of the fan comes out of me. It's the magnitude of the game when I kind of get that feeling, and we'll see. I don't know what the hell these schedules are going to look like, but I think they're playing at some point, so at least I have something to look forward to. Like, I feel bad for guys like you, where it's just this, you're just kind of in this void, and you're like, there might be football, there might not be.
I mean, I've had the benefit of being able to sink into the Lions. I mean, I've done so much NFL in August, and it's been good, because last year I was playing catch up, I feel like, on that one, and by the time I caught up, the Lions were just a hopeless mess in terms of the season, so it was whatever. But so in that sense, it's been good. But yeah, the lack of college stuff, like the beginning of August was the rough one, where we got to the beginning of August and they weren't, you know. I mean, and again, we've talked about this on other episodes. You've read the tea leaves at the time, and it was like, they're not playing, at least not on time, and not even close to certainly on time. And that was a tough one. Even on the day that it finally got, you know, postponed, that was a much more difficult day personally for me to process than I ever thought it would be. Like, that's, I don't know why. I don't know what I thought it would be or wouldn't be, but that day, because I drove up to, when we got the word that they were doing it, I drove up and just kind of sat in my car outside of Schimbeckler and watched those guys come in to that team meeting and leave.
Yeah.
And I drove home and was like, Jesus, like, this, it hit me on the drive home. Like, this is not happening. And like, they're not going to budge off this unless some drastic things change, which maybe they will. And maybe, you know, obviously we've seen testing changes since then. So, you know, knock on wood, and hopefully they can find a way to do it safe. But yeah, it's been weird for sure. And it continues to sort of be weird. I don't want that feeling to get normal of us just sitting here without college football. I've been happy to do a lot more stuff with the NFL in a lot of ways. It's been cool and been fun for me because it's something different. But I still am just crushed for these kids who are watching these Big Ten players.
Yeah.
Like these seniors, my God, like, you know, just Carlo Kemp at Michigan, or, you know, somebody at Michigan, like trying to think of another kid, like other kids at Michigan State who are, Michigan State's a younger team and they're in a different situation. But these guys that are like right on the fringe of like being right there, you need one more senior, you know, a senior year to really push forward.
Right.
And to not have that, like, it's tough. And if other leagues are going to play and they can't play, that is going to be very, very difficult for them going forward. And there's really no other way to explain that one.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, let's Let's try to pick things up a little bit here. All right, everybody, our sponsor today is Manscaped. Manscaped has you covered to keep your hair looking nice and trimmed and feeling fully supported. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. You guys know the deal at this point. Are you faithful listeners? You know, if you're not taking care of your business, then, you know, you're just a disappointment, not only to yourself, but to the significant other in your life. So, the premium lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof, includes an LED light, and is made with advanced skin safe technology, which reduces nicks and cuts on your delicates. We all know how important that is. You can get this trimmer inside their Perfect Package 3.0, which also includes the Manscaped Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and Crop Reviver. Now we're talking Reviver. That Crop Reviver is a ball toning spray. Both super practical and they smell great too. Plus, for a limited time only, when you order the Perfect Package Kit, you get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag and the Manscaped Anti-Chafing Boxer Briefs. You know, it's always good to take this stuff on the road. Then you take care of your business in a hotel, and you don't have to worry about cleaning up the trimmings in your home domicile. That's the way to do this. So get the little travel kit and take care of your business while on the road. Let the Marriott people have to worry about it. So there's also Manscaped boxer briefs that have optimal temperature control with their crop cooling technology while keeping your pride and joy supported. Waistband is also super elastic to reduce chafing, rubbing, and if you're maybe a little bit of a fatty.
Very important.
Pair these boxer briefs with pH balancing liquid products like the Crop Preserver and everything else that you need. You got to try this out for yourself, folks. Get 20% off free shipping with code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is from Chris. Oh, this is a dangerous question. We might have to tread a little bit lightly here. What's the best story that both of you have about each other? Like getting kicked out of a hotel in Indy, I believe, could be one.
I've never been kicked out of a hotel.
I've never been kicked out of a hotel. Oh, wait, that's not true. I was in,
here we go.
In Ireland.
Somebody's?
Yeah.
best one. I'm trying to think of times over the. Okay, I don't know. I mean, tread lightly. Okay, I got one. This is a good one. This is my favorite. This will be, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to speak ill of anyone because it's not something really that's that big of a deal. But this will give insight. This isn't like a ha ha whatever. This will give insight into what Brendan's like as a writer. Okay. When you did, remember when you did the John Beilein, obviously you do, the John Beilein project when we were at MLive. And like, that was great. I remember going into like that off season, we had probably just started working together and you were like itching and like, this isn't working for me. Like, I need to do other stuff. I need, you know, like I need a project. Right. And so we talked, I'm like, well, no one's ever profiled Beilein. Right. So let's just go do that. And you spent, you know, 3 months whatever it was, you know, doing all this stuff, traveling around, getting all this great stuff, wrote this great story that was like this huge, I don't remember what the word count on it was, but it was massive. 8,000 before anybody looked at it or edited it or whatever. And when it got time to go through the process, someone somewhere along the way had suggested that we break that story up into like 5 miniature stories or something like that. And correct. Your boy here... Basically, I thought he was going to quit. I thought he was going to walk out. I thought he was going to be done. And, you know, he fought for it and was like, we're not cutting it up into 8 stories. I'll hit delete before we cut it up into 8 stories. And after that, I probably already knew beforehand, but after that, I was like, okay, shit, I'll work with this guy forever because this is legit, because that's bullshit. Like, and stood up for it. We got through it. It was a great story. Everybody loved it. And it was great. Like, that's the one thing that sticks out, I think, in my mind when I think about, you know, those days is like, I remember, and we worked with Josh Lochter on that one too. Obviously Josh was on that one.
Yeah.
But that's my Brendan moment that I always go back to. Like when I think about work, because that was that's a huge deal. And like for that, like that thing almost got turned sideways. And like, people don't know that. People don't hear those conversations. That's something that would never happen here, by the way, if we're being clear. That thing would have been edited and published immediately. But you know, either way, we're glad it got to where it needed to go.
There were some words yelled in that newsroom that I probably should have just been fired on the spot, if I'm being perfectly honest.
That's the end of that. I remember telling Josh, I was like, well, we're going to have to find a new basketball writer because he's done. He's just going to quit. Like, that's going to be the end of it. But either way, we made it.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, the first of all, I want to one off the court, one out of work, one in work. The first time that I think that we like hung out was in Indy, maybe at the Final Four. And we were at, what was that, Bourbon Bar in Indianapolis or whatever.
I never tell you. I remember that.
And man, like, we sat there and like, I think we had maybe had like beers together before, but we never like, you know, put in a night on the road together. And man, like, low key, you know, I just do the normal thing, right? When someone gets around, you get yourself around, right? Someone orders a beer. Yeah, just make it two. Dude, I was doing that at the bar, just keeping up pace with you. And I'm like, fuck me, man. Like, this guy is a machine. Like, you just – I couldn't keep up, man.
No, it was like March. Yeah. We got to March. By the time – in those days, you got to March. By the end of that, it was like, whatever. Just keep them coming until I fall over and go to bed.
I want to know what the count was I eventually just had to be like, I'm tapping. You know, let me switch to – just give me a little pour of Jameson to sip on. Like, I can't just keep – I think I've put on like fucking 15 pounds sitting there. But then – the work one, and you're going to have to fill in the blanks because this is just you talking about how angry I was that day reminded me of the time that is the angriest that I've ever seen you. And shit, I don't even remember the circumstances at all. We're in the newsroom. I don't know if it was a Hoke thing or a Harbaugh thing or something about a quote.
I think I know you went
nuclear. Nuclear. Do you remember what it was?
It was a question about... something had happened, like a kid got in trouble or something.
Right.
And somebody in charge of something was like, well, are we doing anything on this? I'm like, I already have done everything on it. And it was like, well, we need to know more. And I was like, what more do you need? I mean, this, you know, we have everything we need to have here, right? We need to know why this happened. And it just kept happening like that and happening like that. And somebody said something about like, are you writing for the readers or are you writing to protect the team? And I was like, you have no idea what you're talking. You've never read anything I've written or talked to me. You're talking to the wrong person here, man. Like, so that was the end of that. Yeah.
It was one of those, a lot of cooks got into the kitchen and a lot of people who didn't know what they were talking about started voicing opinions and you just exploded. And it was like you and me in a hallway and you're just ranting and you're fuck this. And I'm like, and it was the same reaction to what you had you know, that day where I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, this dude's legit, you know. And it's always fun because a lot of people are just passive and they just kind of take it,
right? And that might have been, I don't even remember how that precipitated, but for all I know that was somebody challenging somebody or whatever. But it was like, you can ask other people around here about that. Not me. I'm not doing that one. So, right. Obviously. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Good memories. What else you got?
Okay. I got a bunch of what's happening with the Big Ten. What's happening with the Big Ten? How about this one from Bob? And we don't have to get, I know this can get a little whatever, but it's for clarity's sake. Could you go over the structure of the Big Ten a little bit? All this talk about the presidents, ADs, et cetera, et cetera. Who is in charge exactly? How do they make decisions? It seems, Bob says, it seems since Delaney left, there was a vacuum that multiple people parties are trying to fill. That's
good question.
That is a good question. That's well stated. And I think the last sentence that Bob wrote there is a pretty solid observation, I would say. It seems, you know, he says it seems since Jim Delaney left, there's a vacuum that multiple people slash parties are trying to fill. Yes, I think that's fair. And I think that's how things get so disjointed. But to go over the structure again, you know, yeah, like we've said a few times, it's the commissioner of the Big Ten is there and he was hired by the presidents of the 14 schools. Are the collective operators, you know, runners, whatever you want to call it, of the league. They have one vote out of 14. Those 14 vote. Kevin Warren doesn't have a vote on matters. I mean, when it comes to a vote, and this is what I think we mentioned this back in like the spring at some point, talking about all this. Delaney was always, when we would have these, like, you know, if you went to like football media days back in the day in like July around realignment time and stuff, like Delaney would sit at this round table with 70 people around him, and he would just start answering questions. He would just bang, bang. He would just answer questions all over the place. And he would just sit there, you know, with arms folded in his chair with like this like stoic, confident look, and nothing would ever catch him or trick him or trip him. But if you'd ever get to a question that you knew he was going to have a difficult time answering, he would just say, well, that's the president's decision. They run the league. So he was always quick to remind you, I don't make this happen. I strongly suggest to them what I think should happen. I educate them on what, you know, what is going on. I stay in contact with, you know, TV people. That was a big deal at the time, obviously, the TV stuff, everything else. But ultimately, it comes down to the decision of the presidents. And Jim Delaney could not then force a president into deciding something that they didn't want to decide. However, at the time, the Big Ten's trademark was, we're all or nothing. Everybody, it's 14-0 or 0-14. Like, we're all voting together in the same. And I think the thing that's thrown this all for a loop, and where Bob points to at the end with the vacuum, is that it wasn't unanimous in this situation. It's been made clear every day for the last 60 days or whatever that, no, there were people in the Big Ten that wanted to play. There were people in the Big Ten that didn't. There were more that didn't than did. And ultimately, you know, they could talk about specifics of a vote or a general consensus or whatever it is, but the people making those decisions are the presidents. And in some levels, as we've said, a lot of the flack that's come from them, from people on, you know, the football side or an AD even in some instances, is for lack of communication. And in some cases, I would think maybe the presidents would tell you, we tried to keep this away from them because we didn't want external influences on things that we didn't need external influences on. We wanted to make this decision in a vacuum together without, you know, maybe being compromised, although that may have been short-sighted. So long-winded, but it really does start, and that's kind of, it's crazy. And it's, again, we tell, Austin and I think have said this, if you told an alien from Mars this whole situation, they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. Right. But it is what it is, and that's the spot, and that's why it's so sort of hairy right now. And then you get into, you know, presidential situations too. I mean, you got those presidents are checked by boards and trustees who are politicians, who do have political parties. Not all of them, I suppose.
And have rank on the presidents. They hire and fire the presidents.
Correct.
So the presidents aren't even in full control.
Right. So it's a lot of buck passing. It's just by nature. It's just how it's set up. And that's why you've seen what you've seen. It just wasn't, the system was not stable enough to handle a disaster like this. And that's the unfortunate side of it. And that's what we're seeing now. And even in the other leagues, I would say, the ones that are still going on, they're going on blindly. They don't know how everything is going to look. That was their decision to go on blindly. The Big Ten's decision was not to go on blindly. And, you know, the consternation of maybe you should have gone on blindly and maybe you shouldn't have is really at the heart of all this.
Right. What do you say to the folks who think Lansing has a significant voice in what these schools are doing?
I would say they don't. I would say that that's political, a political agenda. No, Gretchen Whitmer is not making a decision on whether or not Michigan State can play football in the fall. That's not a thing.
Right.
That was never a thing from the start. It's not a thing today. Pretty sure she said it a few times, and I get it that, you know, we don't believe everything these people say, Because sometimes it's proven that way. But I mean, like, no, it's not. That's not how this is going to go. Gretchen Whitmer's or her office had no. Same with the NFL. I mean, we saw that. We had that question asked back in like April. Is Gretchen Whitmer in the governor's office going to be able to stop the Detroit Lions from having a season? And my answer was, after I got done laughing, was no, absolutely not. She will have no say in any of that. Nor would any governor in that situation. It's just not how it's going to go. But that's, you know, that's, I could say that all day.
Good answer.
People can believe it one way or the other.
This question from Graham Couch.
Oh, there we go.
Which writer that both of you deal with regularly gets under your skin the most and why? And what would you do to that person if no one was looking?
What? If no one was looking?
I don't know. I mean, he got pretty dark with that. Yeah. Like, I don't know why he had to make the wording, like, gets under your skin the most. That's way too negative of a connotation. I don't think anyone gets under my skin.
No, I don't have anybody.
If anything, I try to get under other people's skin.
I mean, it depends on the situation, I guess, right? Like, there are – the ones that bother me, and they're not even writers, it's these people who have created these, like, personas – that they just run around and couch, no pun intended here because of Graham's last name, but they like look at a situation and they, you know, the average eye could see where something's probably trending and then they just like, breaking news, this happened. And right. Then 3 weeks later when it happens, well, I broke it, so I'm correct. And you don't have to look too hard if you're a member of this audience listening to what I'm saying here to know who I'm talking about on that one. There's a couple. Some do it better than others. And in some cases, I respect the hustle. To be quite honest, because in some cases, some of these guys have, I mean, they've worked people over. They've convinced them that they know what's going on. I mean, it's just like, and it, you know, hey, everybody's can do whatever they want. But those are the things that probably will bother you the most. Some of it's harmless and some of it's dumb and whatever. But sometimes right. It can be damaging beyond a point that I think most people really realize because
right.
It's when you get careless with that sort of thing, as we've seen during all this stuff, just going all over the place. And that's the stuff that gets, it's the race. And it's not even the people in those spots. I mean, there are people at other outlets that will do the same thing. They'll just, that changed. So it's not,
sure.
I wasn't wrong. It changed. Well, no, you were wrong. And we need to make sure that we're keeping that at top of mind when we're reporting. And those are the things that bother you the most, but it's never one person or any individual. No. I don't think.
The thing that used to bother me the most was people who like just didn't ask anything, were just kind of there, just getting audio and I like not actually doing it. I'm like, in my mind, if you have a credential, that is a participatory signal. Like you are there to do, we are to extract information. So if you're just there and not contributing to that greater goal, then you don't need a credential. You can just be sitting in the stands with everyone else, right? So that used to bother me. It doesn't, I mean, I think I'm just because I'm old, I don't give a shit anymore. Like, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that just, like, and this isn't like get under my skin, but it's always like, so the sometimes people who I'm like, man, I don't know how he does this. I don't know how you're wired to be able to do the job the way that you do. That always, you know, I'm always like trying to dissect them a little bit. Like, but they're, like, Snyder was, you know, obviously a great friend of ours. And all that, but I would watch Mark work and I'd be like, what is this guy? Like, is he have batteries in him or something? Like, what is going
on?
Happening?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, you know, he would just be, I'd be like competing with him on basketball stories. And meanwhile, he'd be like writing football, you know, and I'm like, I didn't have any football. I was only writing about Michigan basketball and still felt like I had to compete with him and like everything, you know, and he was good and he was just on top of shit. And there's just people like that. Like, I'm friends with, you know, Goodman, right? Like,
yeah.
And I've been out with Goodman. And like having beers and stuff. And then I look at Twitter and like he just like broke news like while we're sitting there. And I'm like, when did that happen, man? Like, you know, like it's just there's so many interesting people in this business. But yeah, I mean, I used to get annoyed and angry and mad. And I try to dial it back. I try to dial it back.
Up to 10.
But some people just drive me, you know, crazy, you know, and it's just. And it'll be the way that they present stories or the way that things skew a certain way and shit like that, where I'm just like, dude, I don't have time for that.
I think it's just a matter of, like, we don't need to know – the general public doesn't need to know that you know people, okay? Like, if something happened, write that it happened. If it didn't, don't write that it did. Like, that's it. I don't care where you work. Like, that's got to be the only guiding thing here. And I don't want to hear after the fact when it didn't happen that, you know, well, something changed. It wasn't my fault. No, that was your fault.
Right.
You changed.
Right.
You, as a member of the media with an audience and a voice, have that power. You don't get to just say something's happened when it hasn't happened. And mm-hmm. you don't get to just say that, you know, like, well, it's not, you know, I wasn't wrong or something after the fact or retroactive stuff. That's not how this works. So if something happens.
So much. And because, like, look, you do get shit wrong.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Everybody does.
It does. It happens. And you're so much better off just owning it and being like the, I don't know. Sorry,
yeah.
Before Franz Wagner got to Michigan, like, I got it wrong. I reported that.
Yeah, the NCAA.
He hadn't signed a scholarship.
Same here.
Juwan talked on the radio, mentioned him, and I'm like, that's going to be an NCAA violation. And I'm told that they didn't have paper. And I was told by, like, something reliable that they didn't have paperwork, right?
Right.
But they did.
Yes.
So when I had to own up to it on Twitter, I wasn't like, I was told the wrong thing by a person. No, just
was wrong.
I got it wrong. Yeah,
sorry.
Apologies. Here's the actual situation.
Yeah, I just think sometimes, and I get it, people can get a little defensive and competitive, and competitive is great, but, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit too far over the line and people lose track sometimes of getting stuff wrong is always damaging to someone on some level. And, you know, it's best to try to make sure we avoid all those sort of situations. Yeah. But I don't know if I would do it. Graham's question, what would you do with them? Due to them.
I don't know. I think is Graham trying to get like into some kind of fist fight with one of us or something?
That's a deeper answer than if we asked Graham the same thing on his radio show, whether he would answer that question. I don't know. Do you think he would do it? He might.
I do.
Yeah,
I think he would.
2020 Graham would absolutely give that answer probably. I would think. And that's totally fine.
Can't answer Hondo anymore.
No, he's left. He has left. Somebody asked me about Hondo the other day, and I was like, he's in Vegas. And they're like, what? And I'm just like, yeah, that's right. Look it up. He's in Vegas covering the Raiders. So
funny stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, everybody, we've got another exciting sponsor to talk to you about today. Most of you, I think, are familiar with this one, Home Field Premium Collegiate Apparel. T-shirts, sweatshirts. It's about to be sweatshirt season. I think that's an important thing to remember, too, as we go forward here. The Big Ten's still trying to figure out what it's doing with college football. But Home Field will have you looking your best at the cider mill or the all the other things you're going to have to do if there's no college football on the weekends. Man. I've already been to a petting zoo. I think I already had a question on that one. But if I had a Home Field shirt, maybe I would have been a little bit more comfortable. They've got the most comfortable vintage college apparel out there. That's an important thing to note. This isn't the junk you get off the rack at Walmart or Meijer if you're a Michigan person. Of course, Michigan State gear is fully available up on the Home Field website now for order. Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, Western Michigan, Northern Michigan, Detroit Mercy with some cool stuff. All high-quality material, all vintage. And some crazy different logos that you've probably never seen before. I think there's also
the Detroit Mercy shirt is dope. It says like Titan. It's like Titan Country or something like that. It's this old like 70s logo. It's sweet.
A lot of those. There's a lot of those. Slippery Rock for the Michigan fans out there. There is no Michigan stuff yet. Although I don't know if they will or won't end up having anything, but there are new school launches across the board. All very cool. I think that's the biggest point, right, is that it's all very high quality. It all looks great. It's different. It's not the same stuff that you see, you know, with the block or the, you know, the plain logo or whatever else. It's all different stuff that's high quality. You've got a school launch schedule coming out here, too, if you're fans of other schools. Auburn, I believe, just came out this week. Syracuse will be on the way. Some other ones, Mizzou, Florida A&M, Florida State, Grambling, Vanderbilt, some stuff coming to you as the season goes on. So always stay tuned to Home Field's Twitter account. They're super active, at Home Field Apparel, with no – I think it's at Home Field Apparel with no E, actually. Home Field, H-O-M-E, Field, A-P-P-A-R-L. And, of course, as always, we have a promo code for you. So show some school spirit for your favorite teams or alma mater. Go to homefieldapparel.com and use the code BEAT, that's B-E-A-T, for 20% off your first purchase. That's homefieldapparel.com. Use the code BEAT for 20% off your first purchase today. I got another question about the no coaches being fired. That seems to be on top of mind here. Michigan college football fan asks, what is Nick Baumgartner's idea of a perfect Friday night? Well, it depends on the era of my life we're talking about. In current situation, it would probably be a nice quiet night where I could get a nap or something, or sleep or rest or whatever. I don't know. What perfect Friday night? I mean, that's probably something at home these days, I would say, with the fam. Maybe not with anything impending over my head for the next day would be nice. Like a Friday night without anything coming Saturday or Sunday. Friday night with the knowledge that I'm not going to have to do anything Saturday or Sunday, and I can be at home with the family there. Maybe that would be my answer right now in the current situation.
That's fair. Yeah. That's a fair answer.
Back in the day, it probably would have been different.
Probably a little different. Yeah.
Do you have an answer to that question at this point?
Just so I would say mine would be a killer dinner at a great restaurant, followed by a great concert at a great venue, something like the National at the Masonic or someplace like that.
I haven't been to a show in a long, long time.
I know.
Actually, no. I mean, I saw Smashing Pumpkins 2 summers ago at LCA. That was very good. They were good. But beyond that, it's been a minute. Obviously, with this situation, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I miss.
You miss that? I miss
going to shows. Yeah, big time.
I miss the, when we were in, we went to Ford Field 2 weeks ago, or last week, whatever it was, for practice. And we sat there and watched practice with no fans in the stands, as you know, as we've done before in situations for media practice. But as we were sitting there, and like I was sitting with Chris Burke, and I was like, "This is just this is what it's going to look like, you know, during a game." Yeah, with like weird ambient noise happening behind, and that for the first time, that's when I think I was like, "I think I'm going to miss these fans more than I ever realized."
No, it sucks, man. And I think something happens, and you're just like, okay, that happened, you know?
It's hard. Yeah.
like having been on the golf course when, you know, guys make huge putts and stuff like that, like at the BMW Championship 2 weeks ago, you know, Dustin Johnson makes this ridiculous putt and then John Rahm drops an even more ridiculous putt on him one hole later in the playoff. And like, I mean, if that had happened with fans around that green, there would have been people like running across the green, just losing their minds, you know? Like, it would have just been total chaos. And it
wasn't. No, yeah, it just happened.
And it sucked. Right.
You're just like, well, it's a good shot.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, that's going to be, I don't want it to feel normal, although I think it's going to feel normal. It's going to start feeling normal, but hopefully it'll never fully feel normal.
I was saying to some folks that like, after like my third tournament, it started to be normal.
Yeah.
But then that tournament at BMW happened. And it didn't feel normal again.
Right.
And then this past week in Atlanta sucked.
Yeah.
Because there was only 30 players in the field. So it's 30 players on a 500-acre property.
And you're just wandering around.
And they're playing for $15 million. And there's no one there giving a shit.
Right.
You know, it was just – and like, you know, Dustin Johnson had this pretty good-sized lead. So the tournament had no juice as it was. Mm-hmm. And then there's nobody there to give it any juice. And it was just like this thing that just came and went.
Yeah.
And it was over. You know, and two or three years ago, whatever, was when that was the same tournament that Tiger Woods won.
Yeah.
It was his first win after his return. And then he later won the Masters. But that was the one where he was walking down the fairway and there was like 5,000 people running up the fairway to surround the green. Like this just iconic scene.
Right.
And you're like, that feels like it was a century ago at this point, you know?
I think they've done a nice job on TV for the most part to give people, like the NBA games, I can stay in those and I don't notice it as much. And I don't think those pictures in the background have anything to do with it or whatever, those like TV screens that they have up there or whatever. But like, I think they've done a nice job on TV, but like being in the building or being at the course, like you're saying, it's a, even training camp practices, I guess, you know, because normally there are fans out there for that, and there wasn't.
Right.
And that's different, too. So, I don't know. I don't know. We got on a tangent there, but it'll be weird. It remains weird.
remains weird. Yeah. I don't think I have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Let's.
Nezzy asked if Tiger Woods is going to win the U.S. Open by more than 3 strokes. I think that's tongue-in-cheek. Tiger Woods ain't winning this week. I think my pick will be Xander Schauffele. I think he maybe gets it done. He's definitely owed it after kind of getting screwed this week. But do you know how this works? Did you pay any attention to this thing? This tournament is crazy. It's they have like a staggered scoring system, so it uses all of it's your points that you accumulate through the PGA Tour season. And then for the Tour Championship, based on those points, the 30 final guys, they have a staggered leaderboard before the tournament even starts.
Oh.
So like Dustin Johnson was number 1 in the standings, so he started the tournament at 10 under. The guy who was number 2, I guess would have been Rahm, was number 2 in points. He started at 8 under.
What the hell?
Guy at 3 was at 7 under. Guy at 4 was at 6 under, and so forth.
Yeah.
And then they started play in the tournament with those scores already established. So Dustin Johnson won. But like, if you took the actual scores of the tournament, he finished 3rd. Somebody else finished 1st.
This is just
so,
what a time to be alive. This is
just a cluster. Yeah.
The Tigers lost 19 to nothing yesterday, gave up 21 hits, and only had 2 in return. I mean, you've got crazy stuff happening all over the place. In some ways, this is like I have no idea how the football season is going to go, right, for the NFL. Like, people keep asking, like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? I'm like, well, if they get through 4 quarters with 53 guys still standing, I think that's going to be an accomplishment on some level. But it's like there's a lot of weird stuff that's happening that's kind of cool, but it's also like when you look at it, you're like, what is going on still? Like, some of it's still so weird. But hey, it's something. I think I've gotten used to more of it than I ever thought I would, but
right.
I do miss those fans for sure. That is something that is hitting more than I – like even this week when they talked about that tournament, like the NCAA tournament, like the idea of all the teams getting in. Like, I just thought about that for a second. I'm like, what would that look like? I'm like, well, it was probably going to be without fans, and that's going to be weird, but I guess, okay, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll see. So, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that idea seemed to come and go rather quickly. Dan Gavitt released a statement today saying they're not exploring that. So, we'll see. I mean, just, you know, the likes of Krzyzewski have their name kind of behind it, so we'll see.
Well, we'll see how quickly they back off.
Force it into there. Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Football has taught us anything. You can always call a lawyer and get them involved, see what happens. They're Dan Gavitt before everything is all said and done. But see how that goes. We got anything else?
I think that's it, my man.
All right. Write us out of here.
All right. Well, good stuff, man. We appreciate everyone listening. We appreciate everyone subscribing. If you haven't, please head to The Athletic. Grab yourself a subscription right now for $1 a month starting out. Now more than ever, be sure to keep supporting those bartenders and servers out there. Maybe get yourself a takeout meal tonight. Maybe get a little outside dining somewhere. And when that check comes, make sure you're a little generous to folks who are trying to make ends meet in the worst of ways. So thanks for listening.